a medrash that's mentioned by this week's parsha. It's a medrash Tanhuma, Parshas Vayera, Simen Chav Gimel. I'm going to read to you almost the entire medrash, and you've heard a lot of the different parts of it. You might not have ever heard the medrash, you know, in its entirety, but you've heard many of the different parts of this medrash. It says the following: Kadmo Satan Baderach. As Avraham was going to do the Akedah with Yitzchak Avinu, the Satan met up with him, or went right in front of him on the road. The Nidmo Kizmus Zakeh, and he appeared to him as the appearance of an older man, an old wise man. Amar Leh, La'ana Taholeh, where are you going? He said to Avraham Avinu. Amar Leh, Avraham Avinu said, he's followed to David. Amar Leh, so if you're going to daven, then why would you have fire? Why would you have that knife? What are you doing with that? I mean, that's not what you do in order to daven. What do you have this stuff on your shoulders for? You have wood on your shoulders. Maybe we'll be there for a day or two. We're going to delay there. We're going to have to shecht. We're going to have to bake things. We're going to have to eat things. So we bought the fire. We bought the knife just in case we need to stay there for a little bit longer than necessary. And it was true. It was a 3-day journey. The older man said, Lo Shama Yisi, wasn't I there? When God told you to take your son, and a wise man like you, you're going to go and destroy a child and kill a child that was given to you after 100 years? You didn't hear the mashal correctly. There's even a mashal said about something like this. Masha Yibiyado of Avedu, he had the lost hand, the lost item in his hand, he had the thing, and he's like, does anybody know where the tzedakah box is? I mean, you're saying, how am I going to get it? How am I do I have a child? And now you're willing to kill the child with your own hands. You told me, maybe you're going to have another child. Tishma mina mastin v'toyva neshama shetchayva l'avedin. How in the world you're hearing from some destroying angel that told you to do something, you destroy a life, and that you're chayavor bedin, and you're expecting to get another child? That's not going to happen. Amalei Avramina said, lo mastin hay. It wasn't a destroying angel who told me to kill my child. Elakadosh Baruch Hu, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself that told me to do so. Lo Eshma Micha, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to hear anything that you have to say. Halach Me'alav, something left Avraham Avinu, and Nidma LaBachar, and he appeared to Yitzchak. The Amar Yemino Shei Yitzchak, he stood on the right side of Yitzchak. Amalei La'ana Taholech, where are you going, Yitzchak? Amalei Lo Motayr, I'm going to learn Torah. Amalei B'chayecho B'vise Secha, while you're alive or when you're dead. Yitzchak said, is there such a thing as a human being who learns after he dies? Oh, you shamed person, son of a shamed woman. How many fast days did your mother have for you before you were born? This old man is going crazy. He's going to shecht you. Yitzchak said, nonetheless, I'm not going to go against the command of my Creator, not going to go against the command of my Father. Because of Amal Aviv went back to his father and said, Avi Rama Re'e Ma Omer Zeli, do you see what this guy is trying to tell me? Do you see what this old man is trying to tell me? Amalayal Tashkiach Lov, do not pay any attention to him, said Avram Vinu Yitzchak. She'eno Bo Eliyah Yitzchak, all he's coming to do is to make us tired and weary. Miyad V'yomer Yitzchak, and Yitzchak said, then where is this Sela Ola, my father? And that's the whole pasuk. Bayom HaShlishi, on the third day, Chevron is right by Yerushalayim. If it was such a close place, why did it take 3 days to get there? When the Satan saw that they wouldn't accept it, the Satan became a massive river. Avram jumped into the water and he went in up until his knees. He said to his Na'aram, to Yishmael, and to Eliezer and Avram, come after me, it's only up to our knees. They came out after him. When they got halfway through the river, the water reached all the way up to his neck. At that moment, Avraham Avinu raised his eyes up to the heavens. You have chosen me, you brought me down, you have appeared to me. And you told me, I am individual, that I, myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a Yochid El Yozko. And you became a Yochid, and through what Avraham Avinu is doing. Yodesh Shemi Ba'olami, Yodesh Mi Ba'olami, you're making my name known throughout the world, the Hele Yitzchak Ben Kolofan El Ola. And you're willing to bring Yitzchak, your son, in front of me as an Ola. You know, I didn't hold back whatsoever. I'm doing exactly what you wanted me to do. Ba'akshav, now, Bo'mai Manafesh, the water is coming to kill me. If me or Yitzchak, my son, if they both drown, who's going to be Makayim your word? How are we going to make a Yichud of Hashem? How are we going to do this? I'm like, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha, by your life, Shal Yotko Yisyakash Mi Bolami, through you, my name will become special in the world. Mi Angara, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zamayan, Kadosh Baruch Hu yelled at the spring, the Yavish and Nar, the river dried up, the Amdubi Abasha, and they all stood on dry land. Ma'asa Satan, Amel Avram, the Eli, Dover, Yugunav. To me, the word was stolen. It was taken away from me. I have nothing else I can do. Kach Shemat Mi'achori Apargod, you should know, my last bit of information for you is that I heard from behind the curtain, Hatzela Ola, the Ein Yitzchak Ola, that there's going to be a sheep that will be brought. It will never be Yitzchak. You're not going to succeed. You're not going to do what you set out to do. Yitzchak will not be Shechted. Amale, Kach Anshol Shobadai. This is the punishment of a liar. Shafilo Omer Emes Ein Shomalo. Even when he tells the truth, we don't listen to him. And that's what Avraham Avinu did in order to get rid of the Yetzer. There's no better medrash that describes the methods of the Yetzer Hara as well as this medrash does. I would call it three different types of arguments. There was one that was intellectual, in which he goes up to you and he says, the Yetzer Hara says, it's not the right thing to do. I don't even know what you're thinking. Where'd you get that from? In two different ways. One in front of Avraham Avinu and saying, you made a mistake. Going in front of Yitzchak and saying, what are you going to listen to that crazy man? Intellectually, the Yetzer Hara goes up to you and he tries to fight you in some type of a way in order to get rid of whatever thoughts you had inside your head. And then physically, he goes up and puts a river in front of Avraham Avinu. Goes up and puts a river in front. And says, you're not getting by. You're not going to pass by. And the Yetzer Hara does something to be there. And in order to beat that, you're going to have to fight hard. Intellectually speaking, not everything that deals with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah is something that we can fully understand. So that I can defeat. What are you wearing shotness for? Kadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it. Stop it. That you can defeat your Yetzer Hara very easily. But when Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow you to come anywhere near any piece of clothing except for wool and linen, and the only piece of clothing that's not wool and linen is all the way on the other side, how are you going to get there? You have to fight your way through. You have to dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way to get out of the Yetzer Hara. And then there's the last ditch, the bravado efforts of the Yetzer Hara, where the Yetzer Hara says, you should know, I already know the future. And I know it's going to be, and you're not going to succeed. And even so, the line behind that is, but I can try. I can try until I can't do it any further. I'm still going to go. And Avraham Avinu looked at this Satan and said, that's the punishment of a liar. You lied to me the first time. You lied to me the second time. You couldn't get me with seichel. You couldn't get me with physical anything, just holding me back. So now I'm coming to the third one and you're trying to tell me, here's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You're not going to make it. I don't believe you. And I'm still going to try all the way up until there. It's the powers of the Yetzer Hara that truly tell you everything you need to know. And look at Avraham and Yitzchak. They had the koach to put up with the Satan and understand that their das is nothing in comparison to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's das. Or, I should even say this way, in the word of your Rebbe, because Yitzchak Avinu only agreed to this because his Rebbe told him to do it. Yitzchak never heard Nevuah. Yitzchak never heard anything. But his Rebbe tells him to do something, he goes ahead, and he listens to every single word that Avraham Avinu tells him to do. That's it. There's nothing else. It's even more special because there was no concept of a Navi back then. There was a Roeh, there was a Chozeh, a guy who saw visions, but the visions were about themselves. A Navi who went out to other people and he said things to other people. The way that the Netziv translates the word Navi by Avimelech is not Navi in our sense of a prophet who goes out and tells everybody everything. The way that we understand Navi back in the day was a guy who just went out and told people Musar. He yelled at people. Noach was a Navi. Noach told people things. That's what it was. But not a Navi is in our sense of he gets Ruach HaKodesh down and he tells you everything you want to hear. There was no such thing back then. So when Avraham Avinu went ahead and said, I have to sacrifice you, and that's the idea, and that's the word of God, this is what God told me. It was the first time that a Nevuah was said from one person to another telling him that this is going to affect you, and I'm going to have to do something for you. It's unbelievable in and of itself. And aside from that, you know, when I was younger, you meet these people in your lifetime and you're never going to forget them. Unfortunately, he passed away since then. His name name was Rabbi Adler. He was the Baal Kore for Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky for 40 years. He moved afterward to Eretz Yisrael, and he was by Neve Yaakov, and I ate by his house a couple times when I was in base. And I know I should have gotten a better relationship with him, and I didn't. I never pushed for it, and whatever it was. But the man was an unbelievable tzaddik, and he told me one of the greatest Divrei Torah once, sitting at his Shabbos table. He said, "How do you know Avraham Avinu was happy by the Akedah? How do you know he was happy? Maybe he went into it and he did it because he felt like he had to. How do you know he was happy? He was besimcha. He was singing and dancing on the way there. How do you know that?" So me being the smart aleck that I was, I said, "It's a medrash." And I was right. It is a medrash. That's not the answer. The answer is that in order to receive any type of word from God, you have to be happy. You can't get it when you're sad. When Avraham was told to go, he was walking around trying to figure out where the place was. He couldn't find Har HaMoriah. He was never told exactly where to go. He was just told to the mountain that I show you. So he had to wait there until God showed him a mountain. Then on the third day, he looked up. He saw a light on top of the mountain. He turned to Yishmael and Eliezer and he said to them, "Do you guys see that light?" They said, "No." So he said, "Yitzchok, do you see the light?" Yitzchok said, "Yes." He said, "That must be the mountain. Come, Yitzchok, let's go. Shmula kamponi machamor. You two stay with the donkey. Me and Yitzchok are going up ahead." You can only get that if you're happy. He had to have been happy in order to see that light. So in order for him to, it's just an unbelievable level. This something is yelling at you. This something is telling you you're wrong. This something is saying you got it all wrong. He's putting stuff in front of you and you're still happy. You're still happy. It's absolutely unbelievable. But it's still hard to understand, even with all that, and even knowing that the Satan is there. I've still got one problem. This is the one time that the Satan really goes up against Avraham Avinu and puts up his fist and says, "Let's go." And what does he do? He puts a river in front of him. And this may be the pshat behind Tfilas Geshem that we just did over Shmini Atzeres. It could be the pshat behind Tfilas Geshem we say about Avraham Avinu, "He tzalto me'eshu mimayim." You saved Avraham from fire and from water. Fire, I understand, that's the kitchen aish. Where did we save Avraham Avinu from water? Right here. He was in a river on the way to the Akedah and he almost drowned. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu saved him from the water. And so we say in Tefillah Geshem, it's possible that it's pshat behind what that Tefillah meant, what the piyut, the Python was trying to say. But this is nothing compared to Yaakov, you know? In comparison to Yaakov? Yaakov fought with them tooth and nail. Yaakov was fighting with them all night long, hand-to-hand combat against the Satan, against the Yetzer, against the Malach of Esav, going up against them like that. Why didn't the Satan put out his foot and trip Avraham? Why didn't Satan start punching Avraham Avinu? Would he just put a river in front of him? Fight him! Why did he appear as a Zokain? Why not fight the way he did later on by Yaakov Avinu? What's the difference? Why is it going in these types of fashions, in these forms, in front of both Avraham and Yitzchok? So you can't tell me, well, Avraham was too old, he couldn't get into a fight. Yitzchok Avinu was 37. He might have been younger. He could have fought. Why didn't the Satan fight Yitzchok? The same way that he fought Yaakov. And he doesn't at all. And I said last year, by Rav Yashin and the Chafetz Chaim, they both said the exact answer. Yaakov is greater. He's a greater threat to the Satan's existence. Because Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchok is Gvura. Yaakov Avinu stands for Torah. And the Amud HaTorah is the only thing that threatens the Satan's existence in this world. Let's try to explain that a little bit. Yitzhar allows you to do anything. He will allow you to go to a chassid wedding and work all day long without getting any money from it. He'll allow you to go ahead and daven as long as you want for hours on end. Do whatever you want when it comes to tefillah. He'll even allow you to do tremendous amounts of mitzvos or other types of things. Anything. He'll allow you to do anything as long as it keeps you out of the base medrash. If it keeps you out of the base medrash and you're not learning, he is the happiest person in the world. He can convince you to learn Asher Yotzar and to do Asher Yotzar for 25 minutes just to keep you out of the base medrash when you're in the middle of Seder. He can convince you, in certain ways, shapes or forms, he has a way of being able to convince you that you must take this phone call. You must make a doctor's appointment. He'll convince other people in the world to make their appointments, their doctor's appointments, right at a time that you would. You have no choice but to miss your learning in order to go to the doctor's appointment. You won't even have a choice to miss your classes. It'll have to be during the time when you're learning. He'll do anything. anything to keep you out. Yaakov Avinu sat for 63 years. He did nothing but learn Torah. Nothing. He was a Yoshev Ohalim for 63 years. There was not a single shepherd business going on. There was nothing. He was working for Yitzchak Avinu. 63 years he sat and did nothing but learn. The only 2 days he took off was for Avraham Avinu's Avelus, when he made the lentil beans and he bought the Bechorah from Esav, and the day where Yaakov, where Esav was supposed to get the brachos, and Yaakov went and got the brachos instead. Instead, he was sitting by learning and sitting in the Yoshev Ohalim for years and years and years. 63 years! That's some people's lifetimes. And then when he left, and he had to run away, and his father told him, run away, you're going to be killed. And he runs away, he goes for 14 more years. 14 more years, the Yeshiva Shem Be'er. He doesn't even think about getting married until 77. There is no one that defines for us the Amud HaTorah, the ability to learn Torah better than Yaakov Avinu. No one that can define it better than him. If he's the epitome of learning. Says the Gemara, Barasi Yitzhara, Barasi Toira Tavlon, though. You have a Yitzhara, and I created it, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but I gave you the ability to knock it down. The only way to do that is by learning Torah. In Pag B'Chomin Nuvol Zen, we explained this 2 weeks ago in a different vein, Mashcheyu Lebeis HaMedrash. If the Nuvol grabs a hold of you, if the Yitzhara grabs a hold of you, drag that Yitzhara into the Beis HaMedrash. And if you drag him in, he won't be able to go any further. Learning as much as you can is more than just being the kind of Hashem's word. It's more than just keeping the world up. It's more than that. It's power. It's the ability to knock down anything else we want to do and to show us we have our own abilities. We can think, we can do. I'm not being ruled over by anyone else. I don't have to fight people. I don't have to say things to people. I am strong on my own and I can do it. Siddharim in Yeshiva, a regular Seder, a morning Seder, an afternoon Seder. I wanted to say this 3 weeks ago. It reminds me of a marathon. I say this because I only thought of this due to the fact that my wife ran a marathon. I was never supposed to go down and meet her there because unfortunately by marathons there were a lot of people that are dressed unsneezily and improperly. When my wife ran her last marathon 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it was her third one, as she was running it, I stood and I watched. I stood by U.S. Cellular Field and I watched all the people running by. And the people, every single one, it was in mile 23, I believe it was. Just think, you just ran 23 miles. And I had gotten there by the people who were the quicker runners. The quicker runners, but not so quick. The people who weren't the professionals, who make it look easy. Those are the guys who are done in 2 hours, 2 hours, 5 minutes, whatever it is. These are the people who are about 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours, you're pretty good, but you're not great. But you're not great. I was standing there watching these people go by, and they're dying. They're dying. They're sweating. They're just sitting there. They're just like, all of them, they can't see you. Their tongue's hanging out. They're sitting around. They're like, just looking around, like, how much farther? How much farther? And they're all sitting like that. And I saw my wife go by, and she's running by at her pace and everything. And then I go on the train, and I go and I meet her by the very, very end, where everything's all said and done. It seems so painful. It seems unbelievably painful. Why would anybody do it? Why would anyone want to run a marathon? What would be the point of doing it? Nobody puts themselves in pain on purpose. Nobody puts themselves in such a situation in order to do it. And I'm sitting there, after everything is said and done, my wife finished the marathon, she's sitting down, throwing up. It's the most, it's the worst feeling in the world. She's sitting there, I can't move, my legs are killing me, her hip is hurting her, her stomach is killing her, everything's wrong. There's nothing good about the end of a marathon. Like, everybody's sitting there, and it's not like my wife is the only one, and everybody else is standing like, yeah, I could do that again. Every single person who's finished is wearing this little thing over them, because it was cold outside, it was cold, and that's the reason why I was still dressed neatly. These people have these little things on top of them. They're all walking around. They're just like, every single one looks like a zombie. Every single one. Like, you didn't need a zombie. They all look like zombies looking around. But you ask any one of them if they would do it again, and every single one will tell you they would do it again in a second. Do it again in a second. While they're running the marathon, it's, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. When they're finished with the marathon, it's, I can't believe I just did that. It's an unbelievable accomplishment, something that they've never been able to do before. Because that feeling of accomplishment, you just did something which is physically impossible for a human body to do. You did something that's so unbelievable, you can't get over it. When you do it once, you just want to do it again. You know what type of pain you're going through. You know how hard it is. You know what kind of idea it is. But every time your body says to you, while you're in the middle of that run, stop here, go home. You hurt. You shouldn't be running this far. You've never done this before. And even in the trainings, you can never go more than 22 miles. You're never allowed in your trainings to go more than 22 miles. If you do it, you're going to ruin yourself for the race. The marathon is going to be gone. You can't do it. You have to push yourself past that. And when the Yetzer Hara tells you, don't, stop, don't go any further, you're not going to make it, you're going to die, you go further. And you push yourself beyond it. And you push yourself beyond it. That's the feeling of accomplishment. People find it in a marathon because they can't get it in other areas of life because they don't know what the Yetzer Hara is telling them. So they just sit there and they say, here's my Yetzer Hara. My Yetzer Hara is telling me, stop running, stop running. Although that might be their Yetzer Tov. But they picture it as, this is my Yetzer Hara telling me, stop, 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 stop. And they go further. And when you accomplish, when you get past that point, you feel like you've never done anything like that in your life. It's euphoric. And you would do it again in a second to beat such a thing. This is the concept of what it should be like. It's not a marathon. I mean, sitting in Seder is not going to be that way. I definitely can't tell you that it's painful. It might be painful for some people, but it's not the same type of pain. You're physically able. You're into it. There's even an exaltation sometimes in the middle of it where you feel like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. I just got something. When you're feeling down and tired and out and everything, that's the Yetzer Hara. And the only way to defeat it and the only way to feel accomplished is by saying, I don't need a break. I don't need to get up and walk around. Plug through it. Get through it. If I just sit here and sit for another 5 minutes, I'll bet I could do it. If I sit here for another 5 minutes after that, I'll bet I can do it. And if you use that type of idea of going little by little, etc., it gets you past. You defeat the Yetzer Hara entirely. You defeat it for that moment. And then you feel like you actually accomplished, you did something. Every moment, the Yetzer Hara is going to try to get you. It might be emotional, some type of idea inside your head. It might be physical. He might put borders in front of you where he just says, you can't go any further than this. And it may be a last-ditch effort, knowing that you're almost there. Knowing that you're almost at the finish line and it's going to be crazy for you. You have to run past it. Get yourself and keep running and don't stop yourself. Because if you do, you're going to feel sorry. If you do, you're never going to know what that feeling is like. And if you do stop now, it's just never going to be anywhere. It's the same by anything in life. But by learning, it's almost like taken for granted. By learning, you are destroying him. Destroying him. You're knocking off everything else he wants to do with your life. You have the ability to do it. You just have to push through. If this message tells us nothing else, tells us the methodology of the Yetzer Hara and also how to defeat it. You don't listen, you just keep walking. Just keep going. We should be zocher, guys, to a tremendous, tremendous amount, but to remember, it's just the Yetzer Hara trying to get us down. Don't let him stop you. Keep going, go above it. Have a good day.